This is amazing. There's THC in a meteorite. Get yourself over here and explain this to folks. This is so exciting.
Well, this was terribly exciting and new to me. But in a way, it goes right along with what we have been discovering recently, which is blood-brain, which we'll describe in a minute, which has to do with meteorites coming into our atmosphere, dropping blood, literally human hemoglobin blood. And also galactose, which we have pointed out before, some say was the basis of DNA being inoculated or put into the earth. So some would say blood comes from meteorites, that are milk or DNA are the highest form of DNA found in our body. This galactose is absolutely equivalent to mother's milk. And now we find that the endocannabinol system, which has only within the last 10 years become a big deal, and they have discovered it and found that it actually controls the ductless glands, the system that we thought was the master control system for the whole body, the endocrine system. But what we now find out is when they had discovered that lymph actually goes beyond the blood-brain barrier into the head, into the skull, and you can find an entire lymphatic system in the skull, which they never knew was there before, they also at the same time discovered the endocannabinol system. Now, the endocannabinol system is an ancient system that no one understands yet, but they are finding out that the things that stimulate it, CBD1, CBD2, and a variety of other CBN, CBG, and ARG, and all these other things that come from hemp and from cannabis, the two oldest cultivated plants on the face of the earth.
And look, AIM patriots and friends, if you haven't gone out to your local health food store and grabbed some hemp products, you've got to. This stuff is amazing. What it has done for me and for friends and family that we're hearing about that are taking it on a continuous basis, you know, every day, it's just amazing.
So it's the THC that they found in the meteorites, and they thought when they first started finding this, you know, microscopic amounts of it, on meteorites and in meteorites, in 2009, they said, well, this is an anomaly. So they've been now, for 10 years, looking at all the meteorites. They went back and looked at all of them, and they found that many of them of a certain type carry this, these spores, and carry THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. Now, THC is one stimulant to the endocannabinol system in the human body. There are many other spices that also stimulate that. I can go down a whole list, but you can also just look at our research in the intelligence report that we did not long ago on it. And you will find that many things like cardamom, cinnamon, turmeric, all kinds of things stimulate the endocannabinol system. And it, in turn, stimulates the rest of the body, particularly through the endocrine system. So it is a master control system that we don't understand, that we are now discovering that the most ancient plant and the most cultivated plant on the face of the earth, hemp and cannabis, are in fact possibly seeded from outer space. Now that's shocking. It was shocking to me to find that out, but when I thought about it, think about this. It made me think about this. Out in space, there are substances called C60, C70, C80. They are advanced molecules that Buckminster Fuller had discovered, and he then replicated making C60, or what they call buckyballs, in a substance by deriving it from a mineral on the earth. Some say that mineral may actually have originally been a meteorite. So whether you're looking at shungite, or whether you're looking at C60, or meteorites that have THC, tetrahydrocannabinol on them, or the seeding of galactose into our planet, which could have been the DNA seeding for human beings coming to birth on the Earth, that is very, very unusual. But we basically know very little. We are children. when it comes to trying to understand anything beyond our planet. And even then, we don't understand our oceans, we don't understand our atmosphere. So we are just babes in the wood, so we shouldn't be surprised that we're finding out these things.
You know, when we first met one another and decided to start dating, you handed me a rock. I didn't know what it was. You just said, hold this. I did. And I felt dizzy, and so I had to sit down, and I said, this makes me feel dizzy. What is it? I felt like I had gone way out into the planetary system and come back into my body at lightning speed. And then I said, what is this, Douglas? And you said, this is what Rudolf Steiner said you need to work with.
Meteorites. Yes, and I gave you one that had rust on it, and it was a very unusual one, and it was particularly, you could call it psychoactive, perhaps. And so, yes, then you had to sit down. You were somewhat overwhelmed.
And what was great about it is I didn't know what you had handed me. I didn't know that I'd have an experience, but it was very profound. And from that point on, I've been paying attention to meteorite.
Well, as you know, I've been collecting them for a long time. I have lots of them, all different kinds. And I've been experimenting with them because Rudolf Steiner said, get meteorites and work with them. So I took them, and I have different types of them, and I would use these as an experiment with children and adults, but particularly children, because they gave the best response. So I'd pass out one to every child in the class, and I'd say, I'm not going to tell you what this is. Just please hold it in your hand. And I'd let them hold it for a little while, and we'd all sit there, blah, 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 blah. Then I'd say, okay, I'm going to go to the board, and I'm going to write down whatever words you say are the first impression you have from what it is you're holding in your hand. And do not respond to what other people say, and don't copy them. Whatever it was that came to your mind, just blurt it out. So I'd write it down on the board, and what would they say? Hot, burning, weapons, sword, spear, bowl, heaven, stars, you name it. Exact descriptions of a meteorite. Now, I want to describe something here. Why is it that a meteorite might have such things on it? Okay, this is going to get a little bit cosmic, but that's all right. You can follow along. I'm not going to get into the spiritual aspects of this. You have the Saturn, Jupiter, the asteroid belt, and Mars, and Earth. And then, of course, the other inner planets, supposedly. Now, where did that asteroid belt come from? And why are there literally countless meteors or asteroids in that asteroid belt staying in that certain pattern? Well, they don't. They fall to the Earth all the time, 10,000 a year. And so what is that band of asteroid they call asteroids? Well, the meteorites that come from there, some can be what are called chondrite, which are Earth. They're Earth-like material, which literally have material in them like, you know, Earth. Some are metallic. They have every type of metal in it and different forms, like different forms of iron. We have to call it meteoric iron because it's different than Earth iron. Or they have anything you can imagine. They have zinc, nickel, you name it. A lot of the higher metals, and some of these meteorites are palisades. So they have the higher metals. They have white gold. They have palladium. They have yttrium, cesium. You name it. They have olivine in it. So when you say meteorite, you have to describe what type of meteorite you're talking about. I have many of those, and the ones that are very psychoactive are the ones that have olivine in them and white gold. These are literally white gold. They never tarnish. Or iron that doesn't tarnish.
Well, Douglas, what would you recommend for the listener who's just tuning in and is getting excited about this? What would be the first steps? Where to go get meteorite? What would you do with it?
Go to, well, you just look it up, Gem and Mineral shows in your area. They come through all the time. They used to be called Rock and Mineral, but nobody likes rocks anymore. But you go to a Gem and Mineral show, and you'll find meteorites. There'll be all kinds of them. You'll find metal ones that have these etchings on them, natural etchings. You'll find them in different shapes. I've been talking to the meteorite guys, and girls into carving them into beads, into krisses, into blades, into.
Well, we have a spearhead here that is got meteorite in it.
Yes, we have a first century, what is called a hosta, a centurion hosta that is called a novio magus, which means a great hosta centurion spearhead that had meteorite in it, made by Israelis first century BC. So yes, these things, and the Tibetans put meteorite in all of their sacred objects, whether it be bells or sacred bowls, dorjes, any of the really sacred objects they have, take all seven metals, and then they add meteorite. And they also add what's called antimony, which they say is kind of the earthly response to meteorite, a combination of many metals. But in essence, without the meteorite in these things, they're not sacred. In Indonesia, they go out and get them when they fall to the earth. Meteors falling to the earth become meteorites. And they take them. And what do they bring? They bring fire, a sacred gift from the gods like Prometheus. They bring metal, which can be then carved into spears. They have substances that you cannot extract from metals on the earth that then they were able to use in making other metals, being a blacksmith or a forger, and taking these metals. And I can tell you stories that you won't believe about these meteorites and the worship that they have of them. They're called krisses, K-R-I-S or C-R-I-S. And they consider them to be gods, alive, that they can fly on their own. All these things, they go into trance when they're making them, and they use their lips to cool the edges of them, and they leave the imprint of their lips in these krisses, which are shaped like a thunderbolt, because they believe that they're a gift from the sky, like a sacred fiery spear or a sword or a thunderbolt. And so when you talk about Tibetan dorjes, you're talking about meteorite and meteorite falls, thunderbolts. When you're talking about Zeus, you could be talking about thunderbolts, which are either lightning bolts or meteorites. So there are 80 instances in literature, which I have found, where blood rain is described in great detail in some cases. So when a meteorite in the past, and in 2001 and in 2012, there were a huge fall of blood rain in India and in Sri Lanka, which has now proved it irrefutably. 50,000 tons of this blood rain fell on the earth, which is the same exact substance as human blood. And they don't understand it, and nobody even tries to explain it. But one thing's for sure, when you see this meteorite as a fiery spear or sword coming through the sky, and blood drips from it, from the sky, you are describing the procession of the Holy Grail with a fiery spear with blood dripping from it into a grail. Now, the grails of the past were cauldrons in many cases. And what did they capture? They either captured blood and rejuvenated those who died in this giant cauldron, made, of course, of meteoric iron in many cases, or at least some meteoric iron in it. Hundreds of these are described in mythology, in the branches of the Mabinogian and Celtic myths, Welsh myths. In all of these places, it's described in great detail. But what do they put in the cauldron, the grail, this holy grail, this meteoric grail? They put milk in it. The soma of the cow god, Trevisir. Now, that sounds crazy. But when I just got through telling you that galactose is the same thing as mother's milk, and that the ancients looked in the sky and saw the Milky Way as the breasts of a great mother or the teats of a cow, and that they believed when they sucked on it, they got wisdom from the great goddess, and that that's the reason they worship cows to this day in India, that the milk of the cow was turned into soma, the drink of immortality. So wherever you look, you're going to find meteorites, references to the grail, references to healing people and immortality, and milk, all of which we have now just described to you, comes from the sky. And these are gifts from the sky. And so we could go on ad infinitum about this because it's been part of our recent research. And as a matter of fact, I'm studying it right now. I just put down a book that is probably Jarek Ustin's one of the best books. I'm reading it again because it describes the grail, meteorites, the holy milk, soma, all these things. But what he doesn't understand is it's the great goddess. All the men fought over these things and killed each other. Fratricide, a son killing dad, a son killing brother, son killing mother's brother, all these things. Death, 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 death. To get what? The sacred grail, the sacred, holy, magical goods, the substance, and this milk, and to be able to heal blood or illnesses and death. So what are they actually going for? The holy grail that was held by the women in the ancient matriarchal cultures before 2101 BC. And so what you're seeing is a war between the patrilineal and the matrilineal line in history when you're discussing these things. But when you break it down and you look at it quite simply, it's very, very, very simple. And we recently did in a video on the Holy Grail in case you want more and deeper things. But THC being found on meteorites even shocks me. But I can see how that could be and the reason that we hold it sacred. Some call the THC particle or the DMT particle, which is also derived from plants, ancient plants, the God particle. So has the divine sent to the earth these divine magical tools that we can use for the process of ascension? Now that I see that THC is on meteorites, I begin to think that that may be true.